Saving Nature's Music, Tracking the Migration of Swainson's Thrush. This week, we'll examine the migratory patterns of the Swainson thrush, a local songbird who we heard moments ago. We'll speak to the lead UBC researcher, Kira Delmore, to find out how she tracked the migration and discuss how her research could help save other songbirds. This is The Communicators. I'm joined in the studio today by Kira Delmore. Welcome, Kira.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What inspired you to study birds?
Songbirds are interesting for a number of reasons, and one reason is that they're really diverse. So there's like 4,000 different species of songbirds, and they make up over half of all birds. That's really awesome for me because I'm interested in speciation and diversity and how diversity is maintained, and so a group like that is perfect for me.
Why are songbirds important?
Songbirds are a really important component of the ecosystem. They consume insects, they disperse seeds, they pollinate flowers, so they're a really integral component of the ecosystem. And also, songbirds are really recognizable. So I grew up in Ontario, where every kid is familiar with the northern cardinal. They're really recognizable, and if you're able to conserve songbirds, then hopefully you can conserve the other species that occur in the same habitats, but maybe aren't as recognizable as the songbirds.
What bird did you study?
So I work with Swainson's thrush. They're a Nearctic neotropical migrant, meaning that they breed up here in North America and they winter, so they migrate down to Central America and South America. The Swainson's thrushes aren't really like the most fantastic looking bird. They're kind of like a medium-sized brown bird that has splotches on its chest. But what's really interesting about the Swainson's thrush is its song. It has a really beautiful song. And actually, if you're listening to movies and stuff, often they have the Swainson's thrush song in the background because it's just such a well-known and beautiful song.
Why did you conduct your study?
As a first pass, what we wanted to do was determine, does a migratory divide really exist between these guys? Migratory divide is something where two populations come into contact, but they migrate in different directions. So what we did was we attached geolocators to birds at either end of this divide.
How did you catch the birds?
We capture them in the breeding season, so we put out what we call mist nets, and we play the song of the species that we're interested in, and because it's the breeding season, the males are very territorial, and so they get really angry that someone else is singing in their territory, and they fly by and they get caught in this mist net.
Were you surprised by your results?
Yes. A lot of the inland birds were doing what we call loop migration. So on fall migration, they were going over the Gulf of Mexico. But on spring migration, they were going around through Central America and through Mexico. This had never been documented directly in any other species. We also found that some of our coastal birds were using two sites on the wintering grounds. They're telling us that things aren't as simple as we might have thought. And so if we want to, for instance, establish conservation strategies for these birds, we have to know that they're not actually staying the same spot on the wintering grounds. They're not actually following the same routes on fall and spring migration. So we need to keep these things in mind when we're establishing conservation strategies for these guys.
Does this mean that it's vital to protect these stopover sites?
Totally. I mean, if you think about it, these guys are migrating huge distances. They're tiny. They need to acquire all the resources they can when they stop. And so it's really important that these locations are conserved so that they can acquire those resources to complete this migration.
What will happen if we don't conserve these stopover sites?
I think we'll just continue to see declines in songbirds. And it's not just the stopover sites, but it's also their wintering habitats and their breeding sites. But geolocators are really telling us a lot about the stopover sites that we didn't know before.
Thanks for joining us today, Kira. That was Kira Delmore, a PhD student from the University of British Columbia. I'm Morgan Haynes, and this has been The Communicators.